Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Glad to be with you this afternoon. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? That's the poll for today. Ryan, you are a off mic.
I am on now. And
let's do
yes.
this one on the record.
Okay, on the record. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do believe she can win the presidency.
Brad?
Yes, I do believe she can win.
Yes, I'm a yes as well. Kate says, can she? Yes. Will she? Praying not. That's such an important comment, because I am constantly reminding myself that the most important thing to do about this is to stick with my faith life and know that, honestly, whatever the outcome of the election, that part is still covered and it's the priority. But I'm leaning into it a little bit more these days because I start to get a little short of breath.
Yeah, because it felt like it was in the bag with Joe Biden. It was starting to feel like, man, like during the RNC convention, those people were like, man, this thing is going real well.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Joe Biden drops out of the race due to pressure.
And if only we would have seen that coming.
It's a completely different race now. And you're going, well, now what? It's like the dust hasn't really settled yet. But I'm doing the same thing. I'm glad you said that. Just kind of going, you know what? I am not in control of this. Each one of us as Americans have a tiny little bit of control over the way this goes. And outside of that, I throw it back up to God and say, you're in control. I'm going to pray for the best outcome here.
Or just peace.
Well, I'm going to pray for the best outcomes.
Yeah, that's a broad prayer. There's just so much anxiety and worry, and you know, what social media do you participate in the most?
Facebook.
What do you?
Twitter.
Those are such different environments. Do you see a lot of politics in your Facebook feed?
No.
Do you see more than usual?
Yes.
Is it friendly? Is it unfriendly?
For the most part, it's friendly. I would say more than anything, it's exactly what we were just talking about. There's kind of a spiritual bent to it where it might be around current events, but it's more like God's in control.
Haven't we all purged our Facebook feeds of the people who we can't stand to see anymore?
To an extent, but don't you leave a couple people who you completely disagree with, or that you Their posts drive you crazy just because I have.
No.
Oh, I have.
No, the more I love you, the more likely I am to unfollow you so that I keep loving you. So that it doesn't become, I do not want any relationship that exists in my real life to be swayed because of things that are said on social media. Ever. If you are a friend of mine or you're a family member of mine and you are apt to share things on social media, I am never going to engage those things. Because if I am, I will have the human decency to do it in person. I'm a little bit behind the eight ball in being public about all of my thoughts and opinions on whatever is the whim of the moment, but of course, news and politics. And there are people who have been in my own family who have, out of the blue, like come and thrown punches at me in comment sections of things that have nothing to do with anything.
And I'm that's tough.
I'm like, what's going on here? You and I have never had a person-to-person conversation about this issue ever, and here we are. Bye.
That is tough, because if it wasn't about the topic at all, that means something was just seething. They just, I gotta get this off my chest. I know this post was about Easter, but I'm gonna tell you about Trump, or whatever.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I have, now that you say that, it does make me realize, most of the people that I've left on my feed who post kind of radical things, whether they be it's not just like leftist radical, but just really inflammatory kind of stuff, which typically isn't the medium for Facebook. I've left them because I'm not that close to them. They're people that I've known, like one person I was randomly in a fantasy baseball league with or whatever.
I thought you were just going to say a fantasy with, but that's different.
People that I have dreams about all the time. I just leave them. But these aren't people that I'm encountering regularly in real life.
It's like, why am I entertaining this?
No, that's why I entertain it, is because I don't have to see them in real life.
So you leave those people?
I leave those people because it's distant and it's like, oh, okay, I'm getting a little view into what's going on.
Doesn't it take 20 seconds of your day and make you go, oh?
No, it doesn't make me groan. It makes me realize, I want to see opposing opinions. I want to see where people are at. And if I don't have to encounter them daily. And
you
like,
have to seek them out?
And on Facebook, I do.
Oh, man. I just don't. Gosh, I'm longing for simpler times, which are not going to be here again. We are not going back. We grew up with, like, you don't talk about, what is it, sex, religion, and politics.
We always just said religion and politics. So.
Is this a pitch for Wiggins America on Saturdays?
Well, between now and November 5th, we're talking pretty much just about sex.
You mean like gender?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just
it's going
to
be
clarify.
Wiggins America after dark, but it's at
10
7 in the morning.
It's after dark.
Like,
and
it's
the dawn.
Dark. Yeah.
Wiggins America before dark.
Before dark.
It's just like an estate sale listing.
It's, yeah. It's just Loveline. It's like the grosser, weirdest things you can come up with. Just call in. Let us know.
I don't... People took the don't talk about important things. And there's a side of the aisle that is just in like, don't talk about it. And the other side won't shut up about it. And, you know, the initial idea of not discussing those things was in mixed company. You don't go to you don't go as a plus one to somebody's wedding reception and be like I always say, so Donald Trump, am I right?
What about Kamala's laugh, well, huh, you guys? Yeah. I know we just met, but
you don't do that. But the idea that you would not talk about it in relationships that matter, you should definitely be talking about those things. And we've really moved away from it. It's hard to have relationships with people and have political discussions unless you are you've convinced that you're on pretty much exactly the same page.
When somebody says politically to you, and maybe you know them a little bit, maybe you're not really close with them, but they say something like, "Ah, they're all crazy. We need to vote them all out of office." Do you think there's a political lean to that? Like, do you automatically assume
all that? I think it's ignorance. And this is where I always come back to there are 538 people in Congress. Name 10.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You probably could.
Yeah.
We probably could. But most people probably couldn't. I mean, think about that. How many people in Congress can you actually name? So you don't know how, quote, everybody is crooked. They're all corrupt. You don't know that. They aren't all corrupt. I think that the longer you spend there, the more resilient you have to be to not give in to it. But it's just a cop-out. And I don't want to say this in this way to be insulting, but it's just kind of a lazy way of not being involved or engaged or informed.
And you know the famous flea market that I've taken you to?
That was a hostage situation as well.
Maybe.
Yes.
Possibly.
It was. You told me you would take me to work.
And then I said, I need to make a quick stop. And you said, that's fine. Why don't you take me and I'll enjoy this?
That's not
that's
how
quote
it
unquote
went.
What you said.
No, I have a video of me being locked in your car while you were in an unbranded building in a place that I had not been before.
It was a flea market. And so that's where I do a lot of my political canvassing. Is in the flea market. I'll throw out a question just to kind of see what people say about it because they don't know that I work here or anything.
Can you go a quarter on this toothpaste? No, we're hard at 50.
No? Ah, Joe Biden, huh? You know, that's the kind of stuff I'll do. But it was the last time I went in there was the day that Joe Biden announced that he was dropping down or dropping out. And I went in there and I was in the car listening and I was like, gosh, this has got to be, everybody's got to be thinking about this. And I walked in there. And I said, man, crazy news about Biden, huh? And a couple of them knew. A couple of them didn't even know what I was talking about. But the ones that did, they naturally said, vote all those bums out. And my first inclination was, I think these guys might be conservative leaning and they just don't want to say that in front of everybody. And I just didn't know if there was like a...
It's a risk to say that.
Yeah.
The expectation, the default is, if you're talking about it, you're on the left. Conservatives have to do, it's almost like drawing the half of the fish in the sand
to
see if the other person finishes it before you're like, you too?
It's true. Yeah, because it feels like a great example. My wife is in England right now And she took the same trip last year. It's like a work development thing where she's studying Shakespeare. She's a literature teacher. She loves it. This is like a candy land for me, her going to Oxford. So with her, though, are a lot of other teachers. And politics inevitably come up once in a while. And you know who brings them up? The crazy leftist who's there.
Because there is an they think that everybody's going to agree.
Exactly. And my wife
throw it out
there going,
and someone's like, mm-mm. And then it's like, are you don't agree?
Exactly. And it drives me crazy. I think it drives her crazy a little bit, but she's just like, she kind of brushes it off and just doesn't do anything. But that's the majority of them. And there might be people on the left there who do agree with that, but they're not bringing that up. Why is it that's that super far left faction?
Because the left is vocal about it, mm-hmm. everywhere. You can't, I mean, it is the virtue signaling thing. You can't, there are a billion different ways that you can signal to people that you're on the left, and you're, by virtue of being on the left, required to do it. You know how you signal to people that you're on the right? You put a flag out in front of your house. There are people who are actually alleging that those who fly American flags, those are the conservatives on the right. Okay, I got a flag out of my house.
So
and I happen
right.
to be conservative. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, you can have subtle nods to the fact that you're on a conservative side, but most people are thinking to themselves, it's not worth it to put it out there. They're not going to change my mind. I'm not scared of opening my mind to the leftist ideology on whatever the topic at hand is. I'm not going to change my mind, but I don't want to deal with it. The other side is very aggressive. I've seen people on the right become very aggressive about it. I know people on the right who can't stop talking about it. And I, as somebody who is solidly positioned on the right, am not one of those people in my private life. I don't post on social media like my Facebook page or my personal Instagram page, which I think I still have. I don't know. It's not about politics. And it's never going to be. I mean, every once in a while, if something breaks through, it might be, oh, they tried to shoot and kill Donald Trump. That might poke me through to bringing that into my timeline. And if people don't like it, bye. Because I'm subjected everywhere I go to other people's views on these things all of the time. And if I take one day out of a year to say something about me politically, not about you, I'm not here telling you what you need to do, but you better believe that I have the right to say where I am. I wish more conservatives would feel comfortable doing that, but I completely understand why they don't.
I really do think there's a difference, though, between the far left person and the far right person. Because while both of them probably are seeing things through the eyes of politics all the time, if my wife were on this trip and she opened up a conversation with, man, I'll tell you what, Trump's doing a lot of good stuff out there. Even if it wasn't like an inflammatory statement, it was about Trump and it was positive. Man, she would get barked down. But that leftist guy, now she's over there for the second year. I think this is happening again right now from what she's told me. When he says it, nobody really brings anything up. And I don't know that that's the right move.
Because they don't want to fight.
But
people
that's
fight
what I'm saying.
About it.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have to fight about it. Like, it's up to you. And there's a lot of confidence. There's a lot of virtue signaling that comes from the left. They've had the last 10 years to 15 years to be boastful about it. And like I said, in November, we're going to find out if we are as stupid as they need us to be. If Kamala Harris is going to get away with just showing up and doing the things that she's told and reading the prompter the way it's written, or if she's going to have to answer the people and answer their questions and their concerns. But the left has been in a position to be boastful and aggressive about their perspectives. If your perspective is the counter opposite of mine, that is valid. I'm not here to say that you don't get to have that perspective, but you don't get to have an individual voice that is greater than mine. And when I choose to not engage on a personal level, of course, this show gives me makes it a little more complicated. But when I choose not to engage on my own, that doesn't mean that my perspective doesn't matter. And conservatives have been made to be quiet in so many different places that there are people who are kind of starting to get pushed to the edge to say, you know, they're not going to like get up and fight about it, but they're going to be like, I don't really see it that way.
Yeah.
And if you were just to say that to somebody who was pushing leftist ideology out there for you, It would be like you pierce their soul.
Yes.
Because it's that, it's dogmatic at this point. And it's, I think in its silence on the conservative side, become dogmatic for other people, which is why going back to Wiggins America, where we were talking about, like, if you get more money, does it give you more happiness? I think it makes happiness more accessible, but I don't think that it's the actual genesis of happiness. You got to find the thing that really gives you peace and happiness outside of money. You have to have that outside of politics, too. Whatever happens in the political world, I mean, whoever your God is, if you believe that God is the Lord of the universe, it does not actually matter if Donald Trump or Kamala Harris wins, because that fact is still true. If you don't believe that, if you've got some other sort of faith walk, or if you don't believe in any sort of religion at all, then I could see how this would be a little more consequential in the whole grand scheme of things. But the people on the right have been made to be quiet. And I, you know, it's the whole question about the silent majority. Will we see it? I hope that Kamala Harris is exposed for whatever her policy positions are. I hope she has to say them vocally and be on record with them currently. We can look at her record, and her record sucks. So if she wants to let her record speak for itself, we can do that. But she should be made to speak on her policy positions currently. And Donald Trump needs to not lose it. I mean, in my opinion, is his to lose, but he could absolutely figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. Go vote on the YouTube live chat poll. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Gosh, I've got all these like seven signs that you're blah, 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 and they're all stupid.
Well, then we probably would pass that test, right? No? Are you protecting me?
Yes. It's my care and compassion for you, Ryan Wiggins.
Thank you.
Seven signs that you're much smarter than the average person.
All right. All right, let's do it.
Who in here is the most average person?
Brad.
Okay.
All right. I'll take it.
I don't mean that negatively. No. I really don't. And I could have really gone in on that.
Brad's not, I don't know about average, but he's the most normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is average and normal the same? It's not.
No, they're not.
You're pretty average, but you're not normal.
I hear that, and I accept that. My parents would probably say that.
No. They think you're super.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. They don't think I'm average.
No.
They think I'm great.
Yeah, they should. They're your parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brad's parents think I'm great, too.
I bet they do. My parents think you're great.
You know, I never asked my parents about them.
Let's call them.
Let's call everybody's parents. Ask them who their favorite on the show is.
Tell me about Ryan Wiggins. Yeah. What do you think? Average? You know.
Average or super?
Embracing the unfamiliar, a common characteristic among those who are smarter than average, is their openness to new experiences.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, pretty open.
Are you open to new experiences?
Yeah, I'm open to new experiences.
Not.
Especially in college.
It's a lot of experimentation.
Oh, no.
So you're wondering how I got here. They don't shy away from the unknown. Rather, they use it as a platform to broaden their horizons. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of like that in some ways, but completely not in others. There are things that I feel like in life I figured out. And then there are other places where I'm always trying to try something new, like with the show or with my career. Mm-hmm. Like, what else can we do? Let's go there and fail forward. But I don't want to try any new foods. I'm good with the ones that I eat. You, on the other hand.
Oh, I'll eat anything.
What did you bring me back from Japan?
Those were volcanic sulfur cooked eggs.
Why the hell did
quail
you
quail eggs?
Why? There's no instance. Did you really think I'd be like, I'll try them?
Well, it's just an egg.
No, okay, politician. I see what you're doing. You're not answering the question. I asked you a direct question. Did you really think when you brought those back to give to me that I would be like, yeah, I'll try that?
Based on this conversation?
Nope. What you knew when you were in Japan. Did you think? I really think Annie would enjoy these.
What I thought was.
That's not an answer.
This will be great show material because she'll probably say no to this. And then I'll get to make fun of her because it is literally just an egg, Annie.
And so that was for me.
Mm-hmm. I still eat those. You know why? Because you're not the only one who said no. I think every single person in this office said no to that, except for Brad.
How many gifts did you give people that in a roundabout way ended up being gifts for yourself?
Almost all of them. Some of the Kit Kats Kim St. Ange ate. But other than that,
what were those? Those were weird too.
They were green. They were green tea.
There was a sake one.
It was sake. That's what it was.
I think
those were good. Those were good.
No, they're not better than Kit Kats. No,
just regular old Kit Kats. Good.
Yeah, I think maybe Carl had one. I know that Kim St. Ange had one because she really liked it.
I feel like Carl would totally try that.
But yeah, you're right about the eggs. I did not really expect you to eat those.
Not only would I not eat them, the thought of them right now is repulsive.
I still eat them. Because they're not something you want to get on a daily basis, but every now and then I'm like, oh, that looks good. They were cooked in a volcano, Annie. It's crazy.
You still have them?
Well, they're packaged, so they last.
And?
Yeah. And I still eat them. And they're quail eggs. They're not even regular eggs.
Expiration date?
No idea. It's written in Japanese.
Oh, gosh.
So whenever I eat them.
I don't come to work
the next day.
Enjoying solitude. Yes. I am one of these. Another sign you might be smarter than the average person is you enjoy your own company. Well, that's for sure, Ryan.
Heck yeah. I love my own company.
Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you're an introvert or that you don't love spending time with others. It's more about the ability to be alone without feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. How long can you be alone and not go stir crazy?
2 days.
Then do you go stir crazy?
After 2 straight days by myself,
if your whole family,
I want to see somebody,
went on a week long vacation and you were home by yourself, after 2 days, are you like, hey, Brad, let's go to the grill?
I mean, not specifically that, but yes.
Because it's Brad?
No, because we don't go to the grill. We go to get sushi. We don't invite you based on rule number one of being smart.
Yeah, I don't need sushi. But after 2 days, you need people.
Yeah, I think so.
Brad?
Depends on if I'm doing something. Like if I have something to occupy my mind and time indefinitely.
Is it like relationship contact that you need? Or could you just be like out where people are but not have to like...
The second one.
Converse with people. Like maybe I would go to the store.
Yeah, I do need to be a part of something. If I'm just alone in my house, COVID in that sense... It didn't get there because my family was always there. But if they went away for a weekend, for instance, during COVID, like to visit their sister or something, because we were trying to find anything to do outside the house, there would be a moment where I'd be like, man, I've got to be around something. I need to be around the rest of the world for a minute just to know it exists.
I might find myself going... I can't even imagine what it would be like to have 48 hours to myself. And then be like, I should go see people. I'm certain there would be a point where I would probably seek out somebody who I hadn't had contact with for a long time, go have breakfast or go for a walk or something like that. But that has been a while. I'm okay being alone. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I'm super okay being alone. Like I said, if I've got something to occupy my time, I can be by myself for a really, really long time. Alone in my thoughts, mow grass. Whenever I was mowing grass, I could just throw my headphones on. I wouldn't have to listen to anything. I could just be alone with my own thoughts as I completed whatever tasks that I was working on. And it's some of the most peaceful time. So yeah, I'm super comfortable being by myself.
Number 3, self-awareness and introspection. One of the most significant signs of intelligence is a heightened level of self-awareness. Smart people often spend time in introspection, understanding and strengths, weaknesses, emotions, and motivations. I just said here that my biggest fear is thinking I was like really good at something and publicly not being good at it. And everybody knows and I am unaware.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a bad time to tell me that that's the case.
No, it's not. You're great at everything.
Thanks, Ryan.
You're welcome. When you are introspective, do you ever consider yourself to be lame?
Oh, I think I suck.
No,
completely.
No.
No.
Lame for being introspective.
This is like a meta kind of lame?
Yeah.
No.
Because when I start thinking about myself, I'm like, what a turd. Stop thinking about yourself, you turd.
It's a lot of turds. I think that the more that I am self-aware and honest with myself, the more opportunity I have to make myself a better person. And at the end of all of that, I still feel like a crap person.
Mm. Mine's the exact opposite, but I do say yes to this because
it means I'm
smart.
The less I think about myself, I feel like I'm pretty awesome.
I'm saying yes to all these if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed. I kind of knew that going into it.
Yeah.
Self-aware and introspective, Brad?
Yeah, I'm pretty self-aware. And like you said, I was just going to ask you, can you look at something at yourself and be like, you do this pretty well? This is you specifically,
me?
Yeah.
Not really publicly.
No, but I mean, to yourself, you can admit to yourself that you do this. Because I know you just said that you do.
There are a few things I'm good at.
Is it hard to admit that? Because that's where I find the difficulty.
I don't think it's hard to admit it, but relative to everybody else, it's like, what's the value of it? What's the value of knowing it? Like, I'm not going to think that I'm so good at something that I'm like, check, done. Don't have to do anything more there. And I recoil from being around people that spend their time with you trying to impress you with themselves. Like the things that I find impressive about other people, you will never tell me. I will always notice. And it's like, how when you're talking to somebody else, how much time do you spend asking about the other person? Mm-hmm. That's impressive to me because that shows a self-control that most people don't have. Most people, especially if they're nervous, they talk about themselves. That's what they know best. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It's actually more normal and natural to do that. But it is impressive to me to talk to somebody who takes the spotlight off of themselves and puts it on someone else. So, like, for me to say that I'm good at something and, you know, admit it or openly, honestly accept it, it's like just for the innermost part of me and not anybody else.
Yeah. I look at it like, you do this well. You don't have to keep spinning that plate right now. Let's look at these other ones that are wobbling a little bit and try to make those better.
Turning obstacles into opportunities. Life is filled with challenges and setbacks, but what separates the smart from the average is not just the ability to overcome these obstacles, but to transform them into opportunities for growth and learning.
Yeah, I'm good at that one too.
Elaborate. You didn't even listen. You don't even know what I said.
Look.
You were watching Fox News.
That is not true.
Yes, you were. You were.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, yes, I was watching Fox News.
TMZ over
look.
TMZ shockingly reporting that Trump had a rough time at the National Association of Black Journalists.
Look, what you're saying right now is that I wasn't paying attention. To me, that's an obstacle. But it's one that I am willing to overcome by saying that I was paying attention.
It's maybe the most impressive thing you've ever done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will be here until 3.
Actually, like 2:57.
Maybe. 2:57.
Maybe.
Brad?
I completely got lost on what we were talking about.
That's right, you did.
Yeah, because you distracted
that's
me.
That's right.
Do you find... Do you dwell on your obstacles?
I don't like feeling unsettled. So when there's something that's kind of hanging out there, I've got to resolve it. When there's something kind of hanging out there, made you laugh, didn't it?
No, I was laughing at Fox News behind
you.
Trey Gowdy's hair.
To me, you laughing at something hanging out there is an obstacle. And so I'm just going to put that away.
The obstacle to running the show is Ryan Wiggins. For me, my obstacles are ever present.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah. So you got a couple obstacles that are always there, huh? Always just kind of with you.
Just there.
Did I say that Ryan Wiggins was the Donald Duck of the Annie Fry Show?
No.
Or was it Goofy?
I don't know.
I don't remember this conversation at all.
Maybe it was with
I don't think were you guys.
I think it was on my vacation. I think maybe I said you were the Goofy. I said you were the Goofy of the Annie Fry Show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not one of the princesses or something. Which is what I would expect.
Don't worry about that, bud. Nah.
I think that it's a superpower to be able to identify obstacles and just sprint past them, over them, or through them. And it's frustrating to me when if you're working with somebody or working on something with somebody and something goes wrong and they just pause and dwell. It's like, okay, this is it. The reality is there's a problem here. What are we going to do to move past it? Like, let's just put all of our energy in that instead of whining and moaning about the thing that went awry. Because that doesn't change anything. In fact, it just wastes time.
To me, obstacles are an opportunity.
Yeah, shush. Seeking prosperity beyond wealth. If you believe that prosperity is about more than just accumulating wealth, you might be smarter than the average person. True prosperity comes from aligning our financial decisions with our deepest values and using money as a tool for positive change.
Up until, I've agreed with all these until this one. I want the wealth.
I don't know if I'm like in this position yet to know.
I'm emotionally wealthy. I've got that. Mm-hmm. You know, my family's great. Mm-hmm. I tell them all the time, mm-hmm. you guys are great, but I need some money mm-hmm. and I need cash on hand and I need to be liquid.
How do they handle that?
They're okay with it. Because I tell them first, you guys are the best, but I'm going to need some money.
The last one is valuing collaboration over competition. That's a difficult thing to do. It's definitely a sign of maturity is to be able to see opportunities to work with people as opposed to work against people. I think competition is very healthy. I think competition can be a drive behind getting you to achieve more, but you can rarely do it by yourself.
This is maybe the only one on the list that I can genuinely say yes to.
Oh, Ryan.
The rest of them, I'm like, I don't know, maybe this one. I'm like, yeah, I actually do that. I'm typically a part of a team when I'm succeeding.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah. Last one is questioning the status quo. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
We're all here because of that.
At least today.
And look how smart we are.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Smarter than the average bear.
Questioning the status quo is almost like number one on that list.
It needs to be. Because if you're complacent, if you're not questioning, like, why do we do it this way? And you're not willing to investigate why maybe to do it another way. Or the one that I do struggle with is when somebody else comes into my world and questions my status quo from outside, and I'm like, have a seat. Being able to be open-minded enough to listen to why they're questioning the status quo and entertain, that is a difficult thing to do, but it does require some maturity. All right, let's take a quick break. Those were 7 signs that you're much smarter than the average person. You have to let us know on YouTube if you are smarter than the average person. You also can vote. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
It's been a long time, but I think that's, I did.
Such a ridiculous
that is a, that's a crazy question to lead off with, too.
That song's in that movie.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I don't remember that movie very well.
What do you remember about it?
The two stars in it are Phoebe and...
Lisa Kudrow.
The girl from Species.
Mira Sorvino. Yes. Yeah. It's a funny movie.
She's not even in that movie.
That's... Mira Sorvino.
She's not in Species.
That's the only thing I know that she's from. Who invented Post-its? She says that her invented the glue that's on Post-its or something. But it's all about going back to your high school reunion. I mean, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion is about a story that I don't think will ever happen again.
Ooh,
you don't go back to your high school reunion 20 years later or 30 years later and be like, oh, I wonder what they're doing now.
Okay. I'll agree with you there.
Do you go to your high school reunions?
Yeah. Well, I think they have we have a really good class where lots of people show up for these things. Like hundreds of people will show up for our high school reunions. So we did one in 2019, right before the pandemic, and it was very successful. That was our 20. At the 10-year, though, and I mentioned this to somebody at the 20, said, who was the girl that showed up at the 10-year and did Romy and Michelle's high school reunion? And they all knew exactly what I was saying.
What were you talking about?
There was a girl that showed up, and I still don't know who she is because somebody said, oh, I think that was so-and-so.
Did she make everything up?
No, but she showed up to show everybody that, A, she was hot now, and B, that she could dance.
Was she hot and could she dance?
Yeah. But no, I still don't know who she was.
Check and mate.
Maybe maybe she didn't show up for that purpose. Maybe
no, that's why she showed
maybe
up.
Maybe she... That's... I maybe your perception of it. I could totally see how you would think that she came here to show you that.
To impress you.
It worked. Because I remembered her.
I don't think that's the only possibility.
No, there is one option and that is it.
Maybe.
But it worked.
20 years later, her appearance improved in your eyes and maybe she felt more comfortable dancing, but maybe that's just who she's always been, and you finally came around.
No, this was at the 10-year, and she wasn't at the 20, unless she had changed physically a lot again, which I don't know. because I don't know who this person was. She might have been a party crasher. That's why I asked people at the 20.
Just a random girl shows up.
That's why I asked people at the 20. Who was that girl? But they did know. They remembered who I was talking about.
Was she in your class?
Yes.
Do not remember anything
else about her.
Question mark.
It is yes, question mark, because I don't remember her name or who she was.
Man. Brad, you've said before you don't go to your high school reunions.
I've never even gotten an invitation to any of my high school reunions.
You're saying that implying that there were invitations sent out. I don't even know that happens.
I don't even know if there was a high school reunion. Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
I had graduated with 48 people, 47 people, and most of them are on Facebook, and they're like, hey, you guys want to get together? And I was like, yeah. And then, 6 months passed. Which really
is. So you've never gotten to do that? Show up and be like, I can dance now.
No, I've never had the pleasure.
And I'm hot.
Yeah. That's not it either. No, I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to going, I guess, but I don't know. It's such a small class. It's just a totally different
situation.
Yeah, you should. That would be awesome.
I'll do your accent.
You can dress like me, too. You can wear my clothes. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? That's the YouTube live chat poll for today. 346 votes. Almost cracked 350 today. Thank you for everyone who participated. 72% of you say yes, Kamala Harris can win. Hopefully the Trump campaign understands that sentiment as well. I think they do. And we'll get down to the business of beating Kamala Harris with policy and not with name calling and all that stuff. That's what I appreciate about this campaign season. We'll keep covering it. Mark Reardon will take over from here. Don't go away. Yes or no? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
It's been a long time, but I think I did.
Such a ridiculous
that is. That's a crazy question to lead off with, too.
That song's in that movie.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I don't remember that movie very well.
What do you remember about it?
The two stars in it are Phoebe and
Lisa Kudrow.
The girl from Species.
Mira Sorvino. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie.
She's not even in that movie.
That's Mira Sorvino.
She's not in Species.
That's the only thing I know that she's from. Who invented Post-its? She says that her invented the glue that's on Post-its or something. But it's all about going back to your high school reunion. I mean, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion is about a story that I don't think will ever happen again.
Ooh,
you don't go back to your high school reunion 20 years later or 30 years later and be like, oh, I wonder what they're doing now.
Okay. I'll agree with you there.
Do you go to your high school reunions?
Yeah. Well, I think they have we have a really good class where lots of people show up for these things. Like hundreds of people will show up for our high school reunions. So we did one in 2019, right before the pandemic, and it was very successful. That was our 20. At the 10-year, though, and I mentioned this to somebody at the 20, said, who was the girl that showed up at the 10-year and did Romy and Michelle's high school reunion? And they all knew exactly what I was saying.
What were you talking about?
There was a girl that showed up, and I still don't know who she is because somebody said, oh, I think that was so-and-so.
Did she make everything up?
No, but she showed up to show everybody that A, she was hot now, and B, that she could dance.
Was she hot and could she dance?
Yeah. But no, I still don't know who she was.
Check and mate.
Maybe she didn't show up for that purpose. Maybe
no, that's why she showed
maybe
up.
Maybe your perception of it. I could totally see how you would think that she came here to show you that.
To impress you.
It worked. I remembered her.
I don't think that's the only possibility.
No, there is one option, and that is it.
Maybe,
but it worked.
20 years later, her appearance improved in your eyes, and maybe she felt more comfortable dancing, but maybe that's just who she's always been, and you finally came around.
No, this was at the 10-year, and she wasn't at the 20, unless she had changed physically a lot again, which I don't know. Because I don't know who this person was. She might have been a party crasher. That's why I asked people at the 20.
Just a random girl shows up.
That's why I asked people at the 20. Here. Who was that girl? But they did know. They remembered who I was talking about.
Was she in your class?
Yes. Anything else about her.
Question mark.
It is yes, question mark, because I don't remember her name or who she was.
Oh, man. Brad, you've said before you don't go to your high school reunions.
I've never even gotten an invitation to any of my high school reunions.
Saying that implying that there were invitations sent out.
I don't even know if there was a high school reunion. Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
I had graduated with 48 people, 47 people, and most of them are on Facebook, and they're like, hey, you guys want to get together? And I was like, yeah. And then like 6 months passed. Which really
so you've
is
never gotten
going,
to do that. Show up and be like, I can dance now.
No, I've never had the pleasure.
And I'm hot.
Yeah. That's not it either. No, I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to going, I guess, but I don't know. It's such a small class. It's just a totally different
I'll go as
situation.
You.
Yeah, you should. That would be awesome.
I'll do your accent.
You can dress like me, too. You can wear my clothes. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? That's the YouTube live chat poll for today. 346 votes. Almost cracked 350 today. Thank you for everyone who participated. 72% of you say yes, Kamala Harris can win. Hopefully the Trump campaign understands that sentiment as well. I think they do. And we'll get down to the business of beating Kamala Harris with policy and not with name calling and all that stuff. That's what I appreciate about this campaign season. We'll keep covering it. Mark Reardon will take over from here. Don't go away.